It's mentioned in Isaiah that the treatment that the Lord would get by the hands of the Romans tells how they beat him. It says his visage was more faced, in other words, his frontal appearance was more marred than any man had ever been. I had that thought brought to my mind this last week when we was hearing about some of the Simpson trial, and Mark Thurman said, well, he was boasting about they had worked some men over trying to get the truth out of them. He says they left their faces mush. Think what that means. And I thought, well, you know, Jesus Christ, no doubt, the way he was beat, he must have been a terrible-looking man when they got done with him. And he was hurt in body, too. It tells you that right there. And then when we read the story in Matthew, we see that. It was a terrible thing what Jesus Christ had to go through. In other words, he was beat to a pulp. He was just almost dead. We know even to carry that cross that he had, he finally had to have help carrying it. He couldn't carry it by himself. It was just too much load. It's a terrible thing. I wanted to read some to you from Revelation. Probably a little bit more dramatic. I'm going to be in this lesson than any I've ever had, but I do like the idea of realizing what Judgment Day is going to be like. It's not going to be like the same for everyone. There are two decisions being made Judgment Day. And really, the decision is being made of how you live in this life. Because when death comes, there is no hereafter for works to be done. Your works will follow you. I think when we realize that what's all can happen and things, I'd like to read some here about in the 14 and 10. Tell about the men that have done wrong and follow after another god and the idea. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And there shall be no rest, day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Blessed are the dead, though in which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. It's the same as we have back in the Psalm verses. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Many times we don't look on death as being a happy time. But yet when our friends in the church die, aren't we all happy that we know the reward they have for them? And when we stop and think of our friends and people we know, aren't we also sad for them, realizing that they don't have the redemption of the Jesus Christ with them? They are lost, and that is a terrible thing. I'd like to now go over a little bit farther here. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with whom he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and the men that worshipped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these books, or these things which were written in the books, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is no no way of getting out. I noticed in our reading this morning, I was thinking about the song about the gates of heaven. There's 12 ways to get in heaven. But when it comes, and also to that, I suppose those gates will be open so we can go out and do other things too when we're in heaven. We don't know all that, but it seems that way because there's going to be gates there. But when you go to hellfire, there is no way out of there. You're going to be cast into that lake of fire and brimstone. If you've never smelled, well, I suppose everybody as time passed has smelled real, what you call real bad coal, had a lot of sulfur in it burned. And I didn't maybe even had it in your lab at school. But sulfur is one of the stinkingest things there is to have. And that acid is terrible. I know I've had it. And it's just a terrible thing to have. And I think that's what you're going to have there. And it's going to be that way forever and ever. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's no way of getting out of that. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates, into the city. Oh, how wonderful. But without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That came up twice here just recently. Loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of the tree of life, and out of the holy city, and from these things that were written in this book. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? To realize that there... I know everyone has had something you've looked forward to happen ahead of time. I suppose all kids, here's the last day of school in the spring. Oh, we're going to have all summer to play around and enjoy ourselves. Something you look forward to. Everybody, maybe it's in a job you're on. You're trying to get a different job. You're trying to get a better job, or you're trying to increase your knowledge about what you're doing. And it's so wonderful when you get it, and oh, you just think it's great. All these things do come to pass in our lives. All these things, no matter how long we hope for them, eventually they happen if we try for them that way. Whosoever believeth and loveth maketh a lie shall be damned. That seems pretty small, doesn't it? Well, little itty itsy bitsy lies, and we're just kidding. I got even called on that this last week for what I said. I'm just kidding when I said it, but it wasn't right, but I thought everybody knew what I was saying. But there are mistakes we can make. I wanted to talk about something else now. I told you this would be a little bit more dramatic than I've ever made. I wanted to tell of a happening a long time ago. Next Sunday will be the anniversary of the 30th year since I was burnt. Sometimes I think there's a reason for it. And I also know at one time I had sulfuric acid splashed all over me too. If I hadn't had my glasses on, I'd be blind today. So it smashed right in my glasses. Thank heavens I was able to jump back and jump into emergency shower right there. And you know, and that was back when something not too nice, I guess, but it was time when I used to smoke back then. And in my frenzy of all that heat, because that acid would hit your skin, it just is as hot as it could be. I jumped in that shower, but before I jumped in that shower, I took my cigarettes out and laid them over on the table over there so I wouldn't get them all wet. Well, he's already loaded with acid, but I didn't think about that. I was just thinking about keeping my cigarettes. Your priorities. Oh, I tell you, it's something, isn't it? But I wanted to tell you that about the time when I got burned. I won't try to ever mention this again, I hope. I was down underneath the generator out the power plant, and I was checking for the meter to suck air down through this meter up there, and it goes down a gauge and shows you the explosive power there. Well, I was checking for a hydrogen leak. Well, I found the way your generator are built, when they get down to the time of miniaturization, they make generators and things like, you know, practically everything you know about now are made smaller than they used to be. Our number four generator is a great big huge case there, with a great big casement over the outside where lots of fan air is blowing through there. And that takes the heat away from the generator. Oh, when they make the generator smaller in a case outside, they're even much more powerful than they used to be. But on the outside of the casing, that they make a real good casing on there, real good seals, even around the shafts have seals. Your bearings on your generator shaft there float. Your shaft floats in oil. It really don't touch the, it isn't bearing on the bearing too much. It's floating in high pressure oil. And you have a seal there on the inside where the unit is. Say this is like the unit. There's the turbine over here. Here's your unit. But inside that, you have another seal that's used with oil. And that seal keeps the hydrogen from leaking out at the end of the bearings or out in the outside. Well, when they overhaul these, they don't get them built just back exactly right when they put them back together. Sometimes you get a leak around that seal. Well, there's a unit that sits way down in the basement that sucks that oil down that's inside that seal, and it separates the hydrogen from that oil and sets the hydrogen out the roof. Well, also it recycles that oil then after it's been through that filtering session, and then it's used over again. And just that's its purpose, is to seal around each end of the shaft so hydrogen can't leak out. Well, if that inside oil seal isn't just right to the thousandth of an inch, there's going to be some leakage there. And you go up on the top of the roof and you check it up there where the vent is up there, and you can see you've got leakage there all the time. You should have it. It's running. They're just natural. There's going to be some that can leak out. You just keep a little bit more than one atmosphere of pressure inside there, but even then it can leak out. Well, I was down underneath there on a real tall ladder. Just as high as a ladder, it's a step ladder, but it's the highest step ladder you ever saw in your life, I'll tell you that. And I was up on that baby, and I was checking that meter like that. That's the last thing I knew. Next, when I woke up, I was lying down on the cement down below, and the ladder was fell over. My face was smashed in, and I was laying there, and I saw my wrist here. All that here was all burning. My flesh was burning. I tell you, that's one of the most terrible things you could ever think of in your life. One guy told me later, he said, you know, you even asked to help get you up so you could go back to work. I didn't go back to work for a long time. I spent 66 days in the hospital the first time I was there. I have evidence. This is a sack at least 30 years old. I wanted to show you something. It's even fell apart more since I got her home. That's all the burning stuff. All over my body, from my waist up. That's how bad the fire was. It just burnt. Just one great big flash fire. Then the emergency trip went and sealed everything off, and the hydrogen in the unit was vented out to the roof. I'm going to keep that all my life. I keep it down in the basement in one spot. You never find it because there's a whole bunch of more junk out on top of it. I can walk right to it anytime I want to. And there's hardly not a day that goes by but what I think about what I had. And sometimes I realize maybe that I was blessed that way. Almost every single day I can feel some hot parts that don't work just right. because of this. But you know, they did such a good job on me in the hospital. I was burnt from the waist up. And I was, people some saw me in the hospital, I probably looked pretty good then, but I was burnt pretty bad. I have got lots of skin grafts. I've got skin on my back that is just great big pores, is all you say it is. But I have a friend down in Carlisle that's even worse than I am. He got burnt by hydrogen fuel, or not hydrogen fuel, but by aviation fuel. They're putting filling up a helicopter. Well, a shell came in and hit that stuff and blew up. And have you ever taken, when you girls make cake, have you ever swirled the cake around and it's real thick and you just put your fingers anywhere you want to in it and make big swirls and stay that way? That's the way this fellow's stomach is. They never even grafted on him in the Army or Air Force, whatever way they did. He's got the most awful looking stomach you ever saw. You could reach in like that with fingers and pull out flesh on him. They didn't even do a good job on him at all. I think how well blessed I was. And you know, one hot summer day when I had to go back in and have some more work done, the doctor put 104 stitches in me that day. He said he did it. He did it just exactly that way because he put a couple extra stitches in because the temperature that afternoon was 104 here in Des Moines. And I'll never forget that. But I never once had infection. I never once had sore. I call them keloid scars now. And they say, oh no, they're not keloid, they're hypertrophic. You've seen on the sides of trees where they get a ridge, you've seen fungus grow out on the side of the tree. And it's, you can just get over like that. I've got one good spot here where they cut it out. I've got some others around that they cut out, but there I got a good one there. They just sewed it up, cut it out, sewed it up, and there's the stitches all shoulder and everything. But the others that don't show, there's no stitches ever show on a skin graft. I don't know how they could do it that way, but they, it's done. And you know, I came out of that. And 1 year later, I was down there doing the same thing again. And I think they asked me to do it just to see if I had nerve enough to do it or not. Well, there wasn't any leak this time either, so it didn't blow. Some guys tried to blame me, think it was my fault down there. But just like a chief electrician there said, he was the superintendent of the whole place. He said he had caused the fire. The arc of electricity that hit him would burn a great big hole coming out of him. So they knew right away it wasn't my fault then because I just got in the flash fire. It knocked me down over there on there and it smashed my face in. And one time later, the doctor came in and I said, when are you going to take those stitches out of my gums? He says, we don't have any stitches in your gums. So he stuck his finger around and he looked. So you got splinters all the way around there coming down. My facial bones had all shattered and it was coming down through my upper gum here and just sticking all around. I thought it was burning my tongue around. I thought it was stitches, what I thought it was. Well, they worked on me again for then. You know, I've been in there many, many times and you get the wonderful treatment. God's work on, doctors work on Sundays as well. And nurses work on Sundays as well. People in utilities work on Sundays as well. And I just often wonder about that. But I do pray to God for Thanksgiving, the things that we have in this life. Can you imagine what it would be like if you had... Did you last week on TV? I just know most of you couldn't help but see it. Were they showing the old pictures back in the World War II? And those Japs were coming out of those caves with burning and running. You don't know what to do. Thank heaven they knocked me out and I was lying there on the floor on that cement and the guys came down there and I don't know what if they put the fire out on me or not, but I know I left that way. They came down there and put oxygen on me and set me up there and had the life truck come from the Pleasant Hill and hauled me away. And I never once had infection in any spot on my body. I've got skin grafts here, I've got skin grafts there, over here, down my back a ways. And my back skin is just about like Well, it's just as white as can be, and it's got great big pores, so look hard. Down here, I got two boil spots back there where it rose. All my knuckles had little rosebuds of flesh that would fry it up there, sticking up. I thought I was going to die one day when the doctor came in, all the bandages, took the bandage off of me. I'd been in the surgery the day before. I didn't, of course, don't know what's going on there. But when he took that bandage off of me, there was my arm, all bare, no flesh or skin, anything there. It was all cleaned off. Everything I could see. It. I got one spot of the outside skin that stuck to a tendon right there. That's the only thing that didn't come out quite right. God made it so a man can have flesh put on other flesh. You know, the flesh of my right leg, they took, I think it's five strips, about that long off my thigh there. And they put that on wherever I needed to have it done. And it worked. Not infection once. But you do have tissue that grows up where your skin graft comes next to your skin or heals, you have a big old scar ridge that comes up there. Of course, they have to take you back in and trim that down, or it does that, so they take that down. Even after I was, when I first come back here in the church, I was still not healed. These spots in my back were just like two boils back there. I don't know why they burnt that way, but they did. I suppose maybe my shirt got pulled, I don't know. But it really got burnt bad. Well, I'm telling this for one reason. Someday, lots of people, maybe even some of us might have this happen. We're going to go to that hellfire. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? It tells us about all the people that's going to be there. We just read about them, all the liars, all the murderers, all the people doing evil one to another. And the ones that reject God, that's the worst thing I can think of. He's going to add penalties to you for that, because you're going to have it in your mind. When you get in that hellfire, you're not going to sit down there and see who you know around you. I don't believe that for a minute. You're going to be filled with so much flame, and it's going to hurt so bad that you're going to run in terror. You're going to be in a panic. And eventually you'll have to stop. Because it tells you you're going to burn forever and ever. And there is no recall from that. I couldn't for a moment go recall and go back to where I was before I got burnt. But you know, in this life, you have the second chance. Where there's life, there's hope. And when you're in hellfire, that all hope is gone. Jesus Christ and God has told us of it in the Bible, that there's going to be a hellfire. He told you the people's going to be in there. Now, we don't want to read that in the Bible and see ourselves looking back at us. That's the worst thing that we possibly can have. To realize that we could have been saved and we didn't take the opportunity to be saved. Do you realize what that means? You're going to be twofold more the child of the devil than you yourselves are, you say. As it told us there in Matthew 23. But the idea of all this is, I think I might be an example for that. I got burnt with acid, like I said, the same kind of way. It just filled up a tank of 365 gallons of acid, and you have another tank down below. It has a wooden lid on it, and it'll have a hole right there. Well, the bung there that you open up wouldn't open up good, so I got the back of my hand in it, and it went down all right. But it broke off and came out, and then after 365 gallons of 100% sulfuric acid was burning all over me. That's when I jumped in that shower. That was my salvation. Then I went up to the other end of the plant, and I had to yell at the guys to walk out and look out for that sulfuric acid on the floor. So what they did, they got hoses in, and you couldn't sip the tank off. You just had to drain it. There was no two ways about it. It's that plastic valve just crystallized what it is. They got that saved. I went into the shower, and a chemist came down. He had, I don't know why he'd ever have a box of baking soda, but he did. And he applied baking soda all over my body. He could possibly get to that way. That took a lot of the fire out. Of course, I was standing in cold water anyway. You know, I was blessed to have this happen to me and be able to come out of it. I'm afraid we're not all going to have that blessing to someday. as we have the opportunity to make ourselves right with the Lord, I believe we should take it. Don't be like that prodigal son. He left and wasted all that he had. Then he looked back to his father. He wanted forgiveness, and I'll just be a servant unto you if you'll take me back. But Jesus Christ has got a better plan than that. We'll always be a servant to Jesus Christ and to God, but we're going to be there in heaven with him. We're given that. We have a second chance many times here on earth. As long as there's life, there's hope. But when your life on this earth is done, there's only two ways to go: to the hellfire or to heaven. I think as we sing the invitation song, if anybody would like to make themselves make a correction, or to be baptized into Christ, or like to be added to the church, as we sing the invitation song, don't waste it, please.